Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Healing House Radio. Welcome to Healing House Radio with Dr. Eileen. Dr. Eileen is a chiropractor, massage therapist, energetic healer, and teacher. Her years of indigenous training include her work with village healers deep in the Amazon rainforest. Her published works include the recently released Tapping Into God and her soon-to-be-published solo book project, Frequencies. This half hour will be an exploration in finding true balance of body, mind, and spirit in a seemingly unbalanced world. And now your host, Dr. Eileen.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to Healing House Radio. It's been a long 2 weeks. We had a little time off, and now we're back to sharing information about how we can bring more wellness into our lives on a mind, body, and spirit level. Today's episode, we're going to talk about the work of wellness. Now, we've all been taught that work equals force times distance. Well, I recently found out that there's a calculus called the work energy equation that states work equals a change in kinetic energy. What this means that if an object's kinetic energy, which is its movement energy, doesn't change, then no work has been done to it, whether or not a force has been exerted. Now, other than the fact that everybody who's like right brain is, you know, really excited right now at the presentation of all this physics and stuff, but the idea that work is something that, you know, is defined as something that changes, whether it changes the kinetic energy, whether or not it changes distance, whether it's something that we're moving through as a, you know, in reference to a force that's being exerted on us, or even if we don't move, the idea that, you know, it doesn't matter how much force. We only achieve work if we move forward, or if we attain some sort of change. So we're going to talk about work and wellness from, of course, the mind, body, and spiritual aspects. Now, when we talk about work and wellness, most people go straight to exercise. So we're going to start with talking about the body and the relationship that the body has with wellness. Now, when we talk about wellness, when we talk about initiating change, one of the big things, as I said, was exercise. The idea of bringing in movement in some way in order to achieve our fitness goals and our wellness goals. Now, that does not mean going out and getting a gym membership and going there every day and every week and, you know, being able to pump iron and, you know, do all that stuff. Well, the issue that comes in is that that's not the right kind of exercise for everybody. If it is, God bless and go to it. But if it isn't, if it's something else that you're looking for, you want to find something that allows you to go into that place of getting that physical outlet as opposed to just going and doing an exercise that may or may not be something you're going to stick to. Now, when we talk about exercise, there's a lot of different ways we can look at that. You can go the whole hog gym route, or it could even be just getting up in the morning, walking your dog. I have two dogs that I walk every morning. One is a lovely little Papillon Corgi mix named Desi, and she's getting up there. She's a senior. And I also have a Queensland Heeler, which is an Australian cattle dog that I rescued a few months back. Now, Sam, my Queensland Heeler, is about 2.5, 3 years old, so he's got a lot more energy. And Desi, well, she's a lot older than 2 or 3, and frankly, after 1-mile-long walk, she's had enough. But Sam needs 2. So it allows me to get up in the morning, and rather than face the disparaging, pathetic, sad faces of my dogs, as they say, walk us, please, I get up 6 in the morning and take them out, and I walk. And so I end up doing a circuit of 2 miles. And it is amazing because at first it was just like, you know, the old joke as to, you know why they would traditionally shoot prisoners at dawn, that at that time of the morning nobody wants to live. It allowed me to go into a place of exercising in a way that I actually have come to find enjoyable. I get up, I see the sunrise every morning. And for those of you who don't have a chance to do that, I encourage you to get up morning and just enjoy yourself and get out there and just see how beautiful it looks to go from dark to dawn. And it's a very spiritual time. I meditate while I'm walking. And while I'm walking at, probably just above a comfortable pace, it's still allowing me to get that first exercise of the day. Recommendations are now for at least 30 minutes 3 times a week. And it doesn't have to be in one straight shot. You can do little things like just, park a few spaces further when you're heading into the store, or take the stairs instead of the elevator. And really, the biggest point is to make what you do relevant to who you are and what your physical condition is and how you really feel at your best when you're moving. Some people take belly dancing classes. Some people go for Tai Chi or Qigong or maybe something a little more exhilarating like Aikido or other forms of martial arts. Or it could just be that you enjoy getting out and walking in the woods, even if it's just, once a week, twice a week. But if you think about it, you actually do get a lot of exercise during the day, even if you've got a desk job. You're getting up and you're moving around. Pick up a pedometer, and you'd probably be surprised as to how many steps that you take during a day. Little things add up to big things. I have a friend who does water aerobics and absolutely loves it. Water aerobics is probably the best form of exercise that you can get no matter what your physical condition. It does not matter because of the fact that the water is carrying most of the weight, and you can get a fantastic workout with that. And we also think of, when we talk about the physical aspect of wellness and getting into shape and the work associated with it, is our habits, which include, our eating habits, drinking water, how much water do you drink, how much sleep are you getting. Recent research has actually shown that if you want to lose weight and increase your wellness, you actually need to sleep more, because of the fact that it's during the time that you're sleeping that all the repair work is really going on in your body. And, by eating healthy, and what I mean by healthy means in reasonable proportions, and also, just doing your best to eat as naturally as you can, as organically as you can, get back into cooking home meals. And if you're not someone who does, find someone who does. Do a trade out. Say, hey, if you can cook up a couple of meals for me, I'll come mow your lawn, and which is also excellent exercise. And there's a lot of websites that you can go to that you can actually look up what it is that, that you like to do and the type of calories that you'll burn with it, which is an excellent way to make it very fun for yourself. When we talk about habits, we also talk about the work of maybe cutting into an addiction that may not be great for you, such as cigarettes or caffeine or, however you want to hold that. Ultimately, if it's something that is not serving you, it's best to take it out of your life. Just think to yourself, does this serve me? Does this move me forward? Now, keep in mind, if you are hooked on chocolate, a little bit of chocolate, at some point is not going to be bad for you. Everything in moderation. Don't beat yourself up because, oh my gosh, I ate chocolate, I'm a horrible person, I haven't stuck to my healthy lifestyle. You know what? Life is way too short to be worried about small details. If you're working on stopping smoking, reducing down. Maybe, you know, even if you're going down by half a cigarette a day, then you can do that. I have a friend who purchases the tobacco in loose bulk and, you know, rolls his own cigarettes. And that way, one, it's not as intense. He uses American Spirit or any one of the other tobaccos that are natural tobaccos that don't have a lot of the extra stuff in it. And you're able to cut that down and ease those that addiction down. You know, cold turkey works for a lot of people. Some people it doesn't. Hit the internet or talk to people, and you know, you can find help in being able to overcome some of these things. Ultimately, it's your choice as to how you manage your physical self. Just figure out what works for you, what moves you forward, what doesn't move you forward. And if you really want that piece of cake, maybe take a couple of seconds to go, okay, do I want this because I'm hungry, or do I want this because I feel that it's helping me feel better? And as long as you are conscious and really focused on why you're taking it, sometimes we're going to take the piece of cake. But then don't beat yourself up about it. Say, you know what, I made that choice, now I'm going to make a different choice. So now we move on to the mind. And when we talk about the work of wellness with regard to the mind, we talk about things like stress management tools. And one of the best ones I know is meditation. And later on this month, I'm going to be doing a show that's going to be totally focused on different types of meditations. But I'm just going to touch on a few today. There's listening to mantras. There's going and, you know, finding a nice, peaceful place out in the woods and just sitting, or at the beach. Meditation does not mean having to just sit and think of nothing, even though that is one form of meditation. It's actually one of the hardest. I have a friend who can only meditate, or their favorite place of meditating is to go out on the busiest street they can find and just kind of absorb all of the sound, and then it becomes like white noise. And for them that works. For other people, absolute silence works. For some, you know, just something as simple as a toning bell or gently playing music. There's CDs that activate both sides of the brain. They're called hemisync tapes or CDs. And you can find those at most metaphysical bookstores, or you can go online and order them. Those are excellent meditative tools. And they even say on the thing, do not listen to it in the car because, you know, nobody wants to go into a meditation on the freeway. So whatever it is, the practice that you want to go into, you can go for as long as it's something that creates balance and calm. You know, going to something that is going to really wind you up or really activate your mind, that's not what you're going for. You want something that will allow you to just kind of slide into a state of being without being attached to anything. And, you know, when we talk about, you know, the kind of the games that we can play with ourselves in the mind, story that comes to my mind is the story of two dogs that exist in your mind. And one of the dogs tells you that you're the greatest thing that ever happened, that everything you touch turns to gold, and that you are a divine being here in this world, and the world is better for it. The other dog is saying you're useless, you're hopeless, you're worthless, and nothing that you touch will ever succeed. Now, these two dogs are fighting. And the question is, which one of these dogs is going to win the fight? Well, the answer to the question is, the dog that wins is the dog you feed. Meaning that if you feed into those negative self-images, that's exactly what you're going to get. And if you feed into the positive self-images, that's what you get. And feeding into positive self-images allows you to go into a place of reducing the stress in your life, because you go, you know, to a place of not judging yourself. And that's really important, because it is just so easy to fall into that place of self-judgment. And the, you know, what I was once described to, you know, something really interesting, it was called the do-right loop. And either you do it right or horrible things happen. You do it right or it's you know, there are terrible repercussions. The problem with that is that at some point we're not going to do it right. At some point we're going to mess up. At some point it's going to be one of those days where it's like, you know, go, and you have to own it. And the important thing is to go, wow, that didn't end up the way I thought it was going to. What have I learned from it? Cool, moving on. Getting caught up in the idea that if you've got to do it right every single time, you're setting yourself up for a lot of disappointment and a lot of stress that you don't need to have. We all mess up. That's our job. We're divine beings having human experiences, and definitely some experiences are more human than others. You know, you make amends. If you've hurt somebody, you do what you can to fix it and to make it right. And other than that, don't beat yourself up. And if you're around people who have a tendency to beat you up, reevaluate how much time you should spend with them. Now, you know, if it's your spouse or if it's your family, you know, there's a certain obligation that you need to, you know, kind of be a bit present with that. And there is no obligation for you to own and accept the realities that other people put on you. That's not your job. You don't have to own anything that you know, you don't choose to own, including the image of what you do, how you do it, and whatever it is that you feel, you know, brings you to a place of balance. I guarantee there will be, no matter what you choose, there's going to be someone who disagrees with it or wants to change it or change you. Let that go. You got to choose between, you know, being that person and all things for all people and being all things for yourself, which ultimately serves all people much better. It allows you to be more relaxed with yourself and your life. You know, you got to laugh, even, you know, especially when you mess up. And sometimes it's harder than others. But if you can find humor in it or in the actions of others, you don't get so wrapped up. You know, when I began saying, you know, when somebody cuts me off in the South, a lot of times, I lived in Louisiana for a few years, and one of the phrases was, well, bless their heart. Well, that's what I started saying to myself whenever I got irritated about somebody. You know, somebody cuts me off, and it's like, well, bless their heart. And now it becomes something that I can let go, because once I do that, I let go of what's going on and what's bothering me and the agitation that was only partially because of them. Because more than likely, it just struck something inside of me that became my work. So now we move on to the spirit, and that is definitely a work. When we do spiritual work in the community that I'm in, you know, we say there's a reason you call it a work, because especially on the spiritual level, it hits you on all those places that you may have figured you already did the work, or, you know, those things within us that still may cause us a lot of pain, or that, you know, we still need to really come to peace with, forgiveness pieces, getting over health issues, and, you know, different shame, blame, whatever it is that is causing your spirit to have unrest, to cause your spirit to be out of balance. It means that you need to do the work necessary to figure out what it is that you need to do to disempower that energetic, whether it's a thought of yours, whether it's something that somebody says to you. Each of those, you know, things, it comes at you as an energetic, as a frequency. And whether you like it or not, it's going to alter you. Now, how badly it alters you is up to you. Somebody comes up and says something that is, like, really devaluing, and it hurts. I mean, you know, it's not about, you know, Spock, live long and prosper, I don't feel emotions. Of course we feel emotions. Emotions are what make us uniquely human. Emotions are what connect us with, you know, those bigger things. know, it's love as well as fear all allow us to shift into different states of being. So, you know, when somebody projects something at you, you know, it's, you don't have to own it. Now, there may be some truth in their words. And just because their words were harsh doesn't mean that there isn't truth in it. The same way that sometimes when you say things, there is, you know, you just can't really find a good way to say it, and sometimes you just got to hit somebody between the eyes with it. And people get hurt. And how hurt we choose to be is up to us. My favorite saying from the Dalai Lama, that suffering is, pain is inevitable, but suffering is a choice. And if there's something that we need to own in what is said to us, then that's what we need to look at. Now, it may be that they're totally wrong. And it may be on self-reflection and on, you know, after considering all the variables and everything within you and meditating on it, you may consider that, you know, they're just full of it and that they're wrong, which they may be because they're coming from their particular point of view. So if you look at it, nothing in it that, you know, you want, really want to deal with, or nothing in it that you really hold within yourself. See, because there's a difference. If you don't want to deal with it, you don't have to, but count on it that it's going to come around again until you deal with it. And coming from the perspective of what is it that I have to learn from this? When bad things happen, coming from the perspective of where is the gift in this for me? There's got to be something in it. So when you take a look at your spirituality, which, I mean, there are as many spiritual practices as there are people, just take a look at what serves you. And if no one thing serves you, mix them up. Say, you know what, I like this part of this, and this part of this. Go with it if it works for you. My mother had a saying, if it works for you, I love it for you. So you don't have to own somebody else's way, somebody else's practice. And by the way, if somebody tells you they have the way, be cautious. Every way is a way. And none, you know, no one way is more significant than another. It just depends on how it is that, you know, it rests with you. Now, I want to share a little story that I was told about five levels of enlightenment. Level one, I walked down the street and I fell in a hole. The hole was deep and it was dark and it was really hard to get out of, and it took me hours, but I finally got out. Level two, I walked down the street and I fell in the hole. And I cursed myself for falling in the hole. I berated myself. I knew I was foolish. But I did sort of remember how I got out, so I was able to make it out, and it only took me about half as much time. Level three, I walked down the street, and I fell in a hole. It was a familiar hole. I knew it very well. I was able to get out immediately. Level four, I walked down the street, and I walked around the hole. And level five, I walked down a different street. So make your choices as to how you want to manage your life and walk down your particular street. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to open up the phones, and for our friends in the Los Angeles area, the number is 424-258-9337. And for pretty much everybody else, we have a toll-free number, 877-697-9725. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to do a little bit of announcing on some events that are coming up, and these are for our friends in the Bay Area. So this Saturday, I have a workshop that I'm doing at the Center for Creative Living in San Jose, California, and that is a workshop on public speaking and learning to speak from the heart, to be able to express what you want to express in a really good way and have some fun doing it. And that is going to be from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And for details, you can check out the Divine Events website or the meetup.com/divine events. I also have a speaking engagement over at East West Bookstores in Mountain View, California. And that is going to be a panel discussion regarding a book that I was a contributing author for called Tapping Into God. The author, Debbie Belmaseri, and a bunch of other authors shared stories and insights into different spiritual practices. And the one that I wrote about was on Druidry. So if you'd like to have a chance to meet me and you're in the Bay Area, that's October 19th at East West Bookstore at 7:30 p.m. I also have an ongoing class that I teach on the seven gifts of Druidry. And we're up to the fifth class. It's seven classes. And we're up to the fifth class, which is opening to other realities. And if you want to take the entire course from the beginning, I'll be starting with class one on January 12th. But October 13th will be the next class, and you can come to one class, you can come to, you know, and then take those. Once you have completed all seven classes, whether it's in the same set or not, then you get to have a graduation ceremony, and it's all really cool and very fun. So if you're interested in Druidry, you can check that out. And I also want to promote an introduction to Spirit Walker, which is a course being taught by my teacher, Norbert Granato. It's a free introductory workshop, and it will be on Tuesday, October 11th. And that's from 6:45 to 8:45 at the Center for Creative Living. And the address for that is 1460 Cole Circle, Suite C, in San Jose, California. And the zip code is 95112. So you can go to any one of the websites, the meetup.com website, /divine events, my Healing House website, which is the-healing-house.com, or to the website for my book, Frequencies, and that's called Frequencies, the book, all together, .com. So please come to some of these events. I would love to meet you guys. And as I said, for those of you in the Bay Area, I would, you know, you can come to any one of these events. And for those of you who are not in the Bay Area, give me a call and I can go out to where you are. You can reach me at 408-372-2840. If you'd like more information, or if you'd like to speak to me about wellness, health, chiropractic, or spirituality. So it's been fun, and we will be doing, we'll really kind of be focusing on the work of wellness for all the shows. October will be the work of wellness, you know, month. And we're going to be talking about meditation, and we're also going to be having one of our shows. We'll be talking about sweat lodges, and I'm going to have my teacher Nordis come in and share some stuff about that. So that's going to be really exciting, and you can check on the future episodes by coming to the website that I have or my site here on Blog Talk Radio. So I want to wish everyone a wonderful day, and I wish you luck and blessings and balance in all of your work. And remember that the only place where success comes before work is in the dictionary. Everyone take care, and I hope that you all, you know, got something out of this. Oh, wait a minute, we've got a call. And we will, let's see, it's a 212 number. Oh, we lost them. Okay. So you can call me back at 408-372-2840. And other than that, blessings, and everyone take care.